Very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, 11 minutes past 10. Good morning if you're just after joining us. And another good morning to Margaret, Christina, Anya, Audrey and Michael watching the show on our YouTube and Facebook channels. Don't forget, you can watch on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, your laptop, tablet, whichever way you like. You can rewind as well or watch back at your leisure. You can also give us a call. You can also watch on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. Good to have you all on board there. And Margaret has a consistent problem with mouth and words being out of sync, which is really quite annoying. But Margaret, it's a local problem to you. Now, I'm not really quite sure what might be causing that to you, but it's not on my end. There's not much I can do for you. Now, I just want to mention that you are being invited to enter the great Mega Cash Draw here. I forgot what it was called. The Mega Cash Draw here on Highland Radio. We have given away already, if I'm not mistaken, quite a lot of money. $5,000, 2 by 2.5 grands. There's still a lot of money up for grabs. We've got €10,000 to give away on this program on the 1st of September. Before that, on Lee Gucci's show, there's €2,500 to give away. And this coming Friday on David James's Jive Time, there is another €2,500. So we have €15,000 up for grabs. If you've bought a ticket already, you are guaranteed to be in those draws. No worries there. But if you haven't, now's the time to get your ticket because you are in with a chance of winning on 3 draws. How do you win? You go onto the website, you click buy a ticket. You answer a simple question, you get your tickets. They're a single ticket's €10. You can get 1 for free if you buy 5, and you can get 2 for free if you buy 8. Of course, only do so if you can afford to and have a bit of fun with it, like playing the lotto or something like that there. And you could be with a chance of winning €2,500 on this coming Friday, €2,500 the following Friday, and then €10,000 in 2 weeks' time on this program. So you can get your tickets online, just buy one or group in with others to get free ones. It's up to you. Go to our website, draw.highlandradio.com, or just go to highlandradio.com and click in. And it's a really simple, safe process for you to do online. Now, if you want to, you can also give us a call here on 07491 25000. Katie will sort your tickets out for you safely and securely. No worries like that. And you can also call in to the Mountaintop Letterkenny during office hours and buy your tickets as well. Right, well done to Naren and the people there for the great facility and the motorised chair there for people with disabilities. Indeed, a brilliant initiative. Hi, Greg. I was at the Ironman Challenge at the weekend and I had a feeling that it was a disaster waiting to happen. In relation to deaths at these events, the decision to continue, I'm not sure why, but this is across the world, regardless of facilities at these or fatalities at these events, it does continue. I know in rally sport it's cancelled, but it's not uncommon for these type of events to continue. And indeed, and I don't know enough to comment about it, and I think sometimes, you know, particularly radio presenters can jump in with their 2 feet. Watching, I'll tell you what my initial reaction was. Watching as they entered the sea looked really, really rough. But they have done this before, I presume, and it would have been very difficult swimming out to the buoy and back. But then again, who's to say what caused these gentlemen's deaths either? They're incredibly, incredibly sad, but I don't know enough to sort of go, oh, well, that shouldn't have happened or that should have happened. I really simply just don't know. But thank you for your insight as someone who's attended these events. The nurse has been sentenced to capital punishment by LAG and she knows it's only a question of when. Greg, I only wish my electric bill was £300 for 2 months. My last one that came in July for May and June was €577. I dread what a winter one is going to cost. I wonder what is causing that. I mean, is it these pumps in modern houses they have? Like 577 seems really high for the summer. Like I did feel I got away with it a little bit at 290. I'm not going to lie to you. But what are your average bills coming in? Can you let us know? We'll get a sense of it. Just simply text in how much your bill was. Yeah, your most recent summer bill. And we'll see if we can sort of get an average. And if there's any particular circumstances that you think is driving it up or bringing it down, text 086 60 25000. So mine was 290. I think Aisling's was 390. And this listener's was 577, so they're going up. So let us know what you think, or not let us know what your bill was, and we'll see if we can get sort of an average. Let us see here. This one almost slipped away. A complete whitewash with energy companies. The bills just keep going up and up, believes that caller there. Yeah, and it does feel like that, doesn't it? Just listening to that gentleman talking about toilet facilities for people with disability and wheelchair users, I would like to mention about my daughter who went out at the weekend to a very popular public licensed premises here in Donegal with her friends. She had to leave these premises to go to a local hotel down the street to get a suitable toilet. I said this on the show before, socialising. It was only when I was socialising with a relative who's a wheelchair user that I realised that just because there's a door with a wheelchair on it, it doesn't mean it's actually a usable toilet. And this is for a healthy, strong, upper-bodied person. It doesn't always tell the full story. Sometimes it's just a sign on a door, really, and the facilities aren't suitable for someone to go in, turn and come back out again. The National Museum in Kildare Street, Dublin, isn't accessible above the ground floor as there is no lift. They've been making excuses for years. Inclusion, what inclusion, asks this listener. Another, I was in Derry last week with my three-year-old. I couldn't get a toilet for her. I asked in four different shops and eventually went into a furniture shop where the staff were very lovely and let us use their toilet. It's a disgrace there are no facilities and has got worse since COVID. They just don't seem to want the hassle anymore. It's these shops, but like, again, I don't know the ups and downs of the situation, but we can't always rely on private companies to provide what should be public facilities either. Have things changed in terms of accessibility to toilets in public shops? This caller says, particularly in Derry, they feel it has. Hi, Greg. I was in Letterkenny on Saturday around lunchtime. It was a complete disaster to get around the town. It's destroyed with traffic lights and still more going up. Said that to the wife, Derry from next week on for my shopping. Now, there was a big event in Letterkenny at the weekend. Now, maybe you weren't aware, so there were certain road closures to facilitate a parade and to facilitate a concert and street events. So it was going to be particularly busy at the weekend. So maybe give it another try next weekend before you decide that maybe you want to go somewhere else. Greg, could you please wish Grania and Michael McDevitt, Curran in Ballybuffet, or Corain, I beg your pardon, Ballybuffet, a very happy golden wedding anniversary from Tommy and Breed. Grania and Michael McDevitt in Corain, Ballybuffet, happy golden wedding anniversary to you. Please play Return to Sender by Elvis from my mum Kathleen Woods from Rafo, from your loving daughter Pauline Larkin in Letterkenny. Another happy golden wedding anniversary to Grania and Michael McDevitt in Corain Ballybuffet. From all the family, please play Walk of Life. Well, I don't play much music on this show because we've so much chat to get through, but someone will definitely play those songs for you later. Danny Quigley will be doing a charity swim starting this morning at the bridge in Lifford to the Atlantic Ocean to raise awareness for suicide prevention. There's a GoFundMe page called Celebration of Life for those who wish to donate. Okay, Liam O'Donnell is Secretary of Carrigan's Tidy Towns and he joins us now. Hi, Liam, thanks for joining us this morning. I wish it were under different circumstances, but here we are.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks a million for giving us a chance to come on the radio and speak with you about the bit of vandalism that happened in the village last week.
Right. Tell us what happened.
Literally, we put up a lovely old-style pump and a number of planter boxes on either side of it in order to protect it. They're really substantial, really heavy, and someone last Thursday night, it appears, deliberately had to be done with the vehicle, moved, reversed into or whatever, moved one of the planter boxes down on top of the pump and damaged it, damaged the planter box, and left the community and the committee obviously very disappointed that it happened, you know. It's the second time that it's happened. The items were funded by local fundraising activities for the community. The street is known as Pump Street, and a pump used to be there years ago. And this was one of the things that we did to try and enhance the village through funding as well from the Donegal County Council. And we find that people just can't leave it alone. You know, some people or persons or whatever have deliberately damage the item, and it wasn't easily done.
What's going through people's heads, do you think? I mean, how
I don't know, Greg. It's just unbelievably disappointing, and we'd really seek the public's help in identifying the culprits, perpetrators, as something needs to be done about it. You know, we've reported the incident to the local Gardaí. And we would ask that anybody in the locality, if they had any idea, or if they want to do it in secreto,
yeah,
just report it to the garage or call into one of the other local stations, Newton Cunningham or even Lifford or whatever, you know, and report it anonymously. Yeah. We don't mind. It's just that we just need to try and try and stamp this out. You know, I believe that there was some serious vandalism in Ballybuffet last week, and I'm not saying it's the same people, but it's just hard to know, Greg. What's
it's just hard to get inside
head,
people's
know?
Heads, because as you say, right, and people watching will be able to see the images that you posted on your social media. These, the planter boxes, as you call them, these are big items. Now, what would it take to push one of those as far as they did and to cause that level of damage? Whatever they used, it damaged. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't... this is not something you could do physically. Even a group of people, I think, would struggle to move them in the fashion that they did.
Very much so. In placing them there, we used a tractor and with a forklift. And as the fellas that were there specifically to protect the pump that was positioned between them. And obviously substantial effort was made with we believe a vehicle of some kind in order to move them again, you know. It's extremely disappointing. No, I'll put it like this, Greg, I don't think any a group of young lads did it. As the fellas says, if it's somebody with a damaged vehicle or whatever that maybe came down the street, maybe not in full control of their vehicle or whatever, or otherwise, we're just seeking the public's help. If there's anybody with any information out there, we would ask them, even if they want to do it anonymously, just to report it to us, to give us an idea of what way we can approach trying to get some resolution to it. You know?
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on here. Firstly, it's a sickening thing because this is a community presentation, a community facility. It cost not insignificant amount of money, €1,000. Local people donated, through fundraisers to get that in situ. It's a beautiful old pump. It looks like the handle has been broken off it. Do you have the heart to put it back again until such time as someone does something stupid to it again? Do you know what I mean? It's that. Now, I know it's Monday morning and things might feel a bit different in the afternoon or tomorrow, but that's what you'd wake up feeling like. What's the bloody point?
Well, that's it. It's the second time that it's been vandalised. And as such, where the first time you can put it down to, okay, we'll replace it and get it sorted out, you know. But unfortunately, on this occasion, it's much more substantial. And, it does really take the good out of the effort that the community put into and the committee to try and replace something that was obviously there previously, historically. And just a wee nod to the name of the street, it's Pump Street, and a wee nod to the facility was there and utilised in the past by the residents, you know.
And it's the type of thing, too, that tourists visiting the area will take a wee picture of, because the Pump Street sign's behind it and there's some butterfly graphics behind it. I mean, it was a pretty thing.
Right.
It's a shame. Hopefully someone out there has a conscience or knows something and passes the info on, because it's not the first time and one would like to be confident that it wouldn't happen again, but that's only going to happen if the person faces some sort of a sanction or what have you. So I hope there's a resolution. All right, I really do.
Hopefully, Greg, and thank you very much for giving us airtime.
No, as I say, Liam, next time we talk, make sure it's about something positive and we can promote the Carrigans for all the good it has, but it's important we get this stuff out too, isn't it, Liam?
That is indeed. That
all right.
is indeed, Greg.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you very
Thanks
much, sir.
Very much. All right, bye-bye. Liam O'Donnell, Secretary of Carrigan's Tidy Towns there. I don't know why that stuff happens. I don't know what he's going through people's heads. A caller says, enjoyed the World Cup over the past month. Thought England were physically powerful, athletic, spirited and an honest, hard-working outfit. Spain's skill level, possession, first touch and passing was a joy to watch. Feared for them during the warm-up at how small they look compared to the stronger-looking oppositions. Yeah, I thought they were... I enjoyed the World Cup an awful lot more from what I saw without, because I didn't really watch any British media, and I think I couldn't have watched it if you know the way it can be, right? Which is great, it's fine, but if you don't, it can put you off a wee bit too. The game on Sunday morning, I thought England were like, part of me was watching it going, you know, if Ireland had got a couple of things that went their way or an extra player or two, we could have won that competition. Is that crazy for me to say that? I don't think there was a ton in the top teams. I think Ireland kind of maybe were up there. And if results had went their way, you know, we could have gone really deep into that competition. I don't think there was much there for England. I know they were, in terms of the last third, as they say, they didn't seem to have any bite whatsoever. And now I know there were players and suspensions missing, but still, I think the better team won on the day anyway. I think I can say that without any fear of contradiction. Okay, so a new survey, as you would have heard, reveals that nearly 40% of respondents who are blind or vision impaired have been injured by footpath obstacles as Clear Our Paths campaign launches. Now, regular listeners to the show would know that this is something we discuss regularly on this program, and for good reason, because things aren't seemingly improving. And we were talking about inclusion a little earlier on in terms of toilet facilities and accessibility, but to be able to freely move around like other people can, even if you have a disability, that's a right that people should have. But 4 out of 10 don't feel they have that right, it would seem, as it should be. Graeme McGraw, Communications Executive with the National Council for the Blind of Ireland, joins us now. Graeme, thank you for your time today. How are you keeping?
Not too bad, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. So I suppose it's important to do these surveys because then we get a real sense of what people's lived experience is. But Graeme, in truth, is there anything about this survey that actually surprised you?
I will say it's not necessarily a surprise, no. The reason we kind of held the survey is because the anecdotal evidence that we've been given on the kind of front lines from the people who use NCBI services, every day we hear of stories about people encountering something on a footpath that either seriously injured them or seriously kind of worried them if they weren't injured. So I wouldn't say anything was a surprise, really. The top three obstacles that we encountered, just so people know, cars park on footpaths was a huge one. Now, I will say, from my own experience and having spoke to some of our service users and some of our advocates, that was maybe a surprise. We've known the likes of dog fouling, and we know wheelie bins is a big one for people. But cars parked on footpaths came out as a kind of clear issue for people. And I think members of the public, it's one of those things. You might park a car on a footpath as you run into the shop to buy a pint of milk or whatever it might be, and you don't really think about those 2 or 3 minutes that you're in the shop. That temporary obstacle in the form of your car can really cause serious injury or distress to people who are blind or vision impaired. It's not only that they could walk into the car, you know, if a footpath is sufficiently blocked, it may force people out onto the street, and that's where we know people are getting injured. You know?
Yeah, and the examples given, one person came across street furniture, sustained a broken ankle. Again, street furniture comes up regularly in this program. You mentioned cars and also hanging branches, overgrown branches, scraping people's faces. That comes up quite a bit on this program as well, because some of them can really dangle, you know, people will know they've had to move their head to avoid it, but if you can't see it, you're not able to do that. Now, you see, it's not only those instances which are really important, Graeme, I presume, to highlight what we're talking about. It's then the sense people have as to, is it about to happen? Or, you know, the anticipation of it because it's happened before and they expect that. And there must be a very difficult way to move around your towns and villages wondering, you know, am I about to hit something that shouldn't be there? Am I about to get a branch in the face that shouldn't be there? Do you know? So it's not actually the instances, but I presume it's the sense and even the fear and trepidation that it brings to people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, one of the questions in the survey, kind of, we asked people, we asked the respondent, had running into one of these obstacles or coming across one of the obstacles affected their confidence to get out and about independently. And nearly 70% of people who responded to the survey did say that it affected their confidence. Now, that's a huge thing. NCBI works with service users all over Ireland. To kind of to train and to make sure that people are able to keep that independence and when they get out and about, and confidence is a big aspect of that. You can imagine if someone has acquired sight loss and they've been used to maybe walking down the street freely all their life, and then they've learned all these new skills and learned how to navigate a town in a safe manner. Then you run into an obstacle like that, and it bumps your confidence, and it can affect how people get out and about, and then that all kind of snowballs as well. That can have effects on people's social lives if they're afraid to get out and about. It can affect people in so many ways.
Yeah. So people have no-go areas, right, don't they? I'm not going near there because such and such. Now, listen, a lot of this is common sense stuff, and maybe it's a bit of ignorance in that, you know, if you park that car there, do you consider, well, what would happen if such and such a situation occurred, i.e. someone needed to get past, or someone was in a wheelchair, or someone was pushing a buggy, if you don't pick up the dog poo? Do you know, a lot of this can be fixed with just basic consideration for your fellow man and woman. Do you know what I mean? We don't need legislation and referendums and this is just to say, right, if I do something, what are the potential consequences of it, i.e. just thinking about your community?
Of course. In theory, it's a really easy fix. We're asking, from our perspective, we're exactly like you mentioned, we're just asking people to kind of put yourself in the shoes of someone who might be blind or vision impaired, and when those people want to get out and about and just live their lives like anybody else would. And just kind of think about those small actions that you have. You know, when you put your bins out, And they're collected. Everybody has seen then the what's left is the bins kind of strewn across the path. Just kind of think to yourself, if you get up in the morning, right, I better run out and make sure those bins aren't blocking the path. Or the same with your car. Just take the extra minute or two to maybe find a more suitable parking spot if you're running into the shop. Or if you're out with your dog, to just pick up after them. They really are simple fixes to this. And we don't want to bash any members of the public at all. But it's to ask the consideration. Put yourself in a person who is blind or vision impaired. Put yourself in their shoes and think how distressing it would be if you're using your white cane, and it's touching off the ground, obviously, and it runs through dog poo, and then you pick that up, and they might not know, and they pick it up, and it's on their hands. You know, that's not a nice experience for anybody, and it's easily fixable by just picking up after your dog.
Right, okay. And in terms of awareness, there is NCBI has a webpage aimed at supporting members of the public, just to maybe get an understanding say, right, I might think a little bit different going forward. What is the URL? How do people find that information, Graham?
So if anybody is interested to have a look, all they have to do is go on to www.ntbi.ie. On the very front of our homepage, there is a navigation to the specific page for Clear Our Paths. And the information on there just allows people to have a little bit more background if they want to chat to their friends or family, just to kind of help them then inform the people who are around them. So we'd encourage people to go on there and have a read and have a think.
All right, Graham, thanks for your time. Graham McGrath, Communications Executive with the NCBI. Via email, it's naive to think that anyone in Russia can speak the truth about their lives in Russia. They and their families would be instantly arrested. That comes in from Grania. And Grania, that's exactly the point, isn't it? You know, because the narrative is that Russia as a whole is for this or engaged in it and supporting it. But as you say yourself, that may not be the case, but we don't hear those nuances. It's just, if you read the news or listen to the news, you'll see that it's just Russia, not the Russian leadership per se. So I think that's the point. And you've made it there to some extent. Ask the teenagers what are their chosen careers to see why they couldn't see a future in Donegal. Don't all young people want to get away from the family home? It's part of growing up. Well, they might do, but more and more are living at home well into their late 20s now. Such is the world that we created for them, that their aspirations to move into another house aren't achievable here. And that's the problem. They can go abroad and fulfil that rite of passage, you could call it. What's happening now is people are moving home in their 20s, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. What was the figure? 60%? Now, Liv, what's wrong, Caroline? Do you want to speak to me? Speak away there. Don't be shy. I do have two ad breaks. Okay, don't be shy, Caroline. I just wish what you say in my ear went out on air as well. That'd be fun. I was looking at the photos from a recent Gale school prom. Prizes were given for best dressed, teacher's pet, etc. A bit of crack, but the sashes were written in English. I know it was only a bit of crack, but surely a Gaelic-speaking school should keep all those things related to the language they are taught in. Doing it in English kind of made me think this is typical. The school teaches in Irish, but students clearly revert back to English in everyday life, so what's the point? I don't know what you're talking of. Look, I know what you're talking of, what you're trying to explain. Is it possible that one of the students got a hold of a few of the sashes that were already in English and they just went with it for the crack? I don't know. But I take your point. Thank you. The exhaust of a motorbike fell off on the long lane between St Johnston and Newtown Cunningham last night between 10 and 9 p.m. 10 to 9 and 9 p.m., sorry. Very specific. It's of great sentimental value as the bike belonged to a loved one. So did you find the exhaust of a motorbike on the long lane between St Johnston and Newtown Cunningham last night, between 10 to 9 and 9, so a very specific window. It's of great sentimental value. So if you saw that or know where it is, please let us know, and then we can let that person know. Right. Here's an interesting one that was posted at the weekend over the week. And can you match this? A lady, a friend on Facebook posted this. I'm just letting people know about our health system. My husband's mother, who is dead for 37 years, got a hospital appointment yesterday to go to Killybeg Community Hospital on Tuesday to get x-rays on both knees and a chest x-ray. So this lady, God rest her soul, has been passed for 37 years. The letter is her date of birth, which is in 1903, which obviously would leave her 120. Some health system, slow but sure, they say. So they're able to see, I think, a little bit of the... Now, we do get these letters when someone's recently passed and it can be really quite hurtful. But this lady, dead for 37 years, may she rest in peace, born in 1903, she was called to Killybegs Community Hospital on Tuesday to get x-rays on both knees and a chest x-ray. If she were alive, she'd be 120, so she'd also be the oldest person in the country. I bet you no one can match that. Can you match that? I don't know how that might have happened, but that would make you think that this, the whole appointment system needs curating, doesn't it? That it needs looked at. They need to hire a team in to come and say, right, what's going on here? We've just sent out a reminder letter to a 120-year-old lady who's actually dead for 37 years. As I say, it may have caused some upset, but I think judging by the way it's been described, that's not the principal issue here. Have you ever experienced, have you ever seen anything like that? I've seen the letters, by the way, in case you think that's just something that's been made up or fabricated. It happened. A lady passed for 37 years, but would be 120 if alive, called for x-rays on her knees and chest on Tuesday in Killybegs. All right, so we were asking you what your electricity bills were, just to sort of get a sense of an average, and I'm not feeling too bad about mine at the moment. Energia went from 528 euro in April, May in contract to 738 euro June, July out of contract. That is massive. My electricity bills equalised over 12 months. This means that the winter bills are the same as summer. I find this very convenient as there are no surprises. Annual bill is estimated on previous year's usage and is adjusted annually. Sometimes there is a credit. Another, my last bill was 514 euro. Previous one was 663. We've nothing different in our house. Average bill used to be 200 to 250. As I say, mine was 290. I'm not feeling, I'm worried now that I'm going to get a big bill after the fact. Electric 455, another. No ESB bill used, but over 400 a few years ago, but got meter in. I top up 20 or 50 or 10 when I have it. Think it's the best thing ever to have in the house. Have it 4 or 5 years. Would not be without it. That's pay as you go, isn't it? 411 euro electricity bill for a family of four. That's the most recent. And still they come in. Keep the electricity bills coming in. It seems they're really, really quite high. Right, now, there is a new project exploring LGBTI plus history, and it's being unveiled in the Donegal County Museum. Judith McCarthy of the Donegal County Museum, in fact, its curator, joins us now in studio. Good morning to you. How are you getting on, Judith?
Good morning. Not too bad.
Okay, so talk to us about the background to this project.
Okay, well, it started off as a project in the National Museum of Ireland called Rainbow Revolution Trail in 2019. And what they did was they curated a series of stories, archival material, etc., telling the kind of history of the LGBTQ plus kind of story and how things have changed over the last 30, 40, 50 years. And it included material from an RTE filmmaker called Edmund Lynch, who'd created a documentary called A Different Country. And he had interviewed some very well-known household names who have played a role in this history. People such as Nell McCafferty, Gay Byrne, our previous presidents, Mary McAleese and Mary Robinson, who were all very vocal in terms of supporting the LGBTQ plus community. So subsequent to the launch in the National Museum, we worked with them to then to actually bring it out to all of the 12 local authority museums. So there are 12 local authority museums in the country. Mm-hmm. So we, each of us now have this digital podium that tell these stories. And the idea is that in each community then, so in each county, say, for instance, here in Donegal, we will add mm-hmm. that story.
Has that journey begun yet in terms of adding to that story? Because this is a national picture that's currently on
display. Yeah, no, the journey has actually just begun here in Donegal. Mm. There's a project that just got funding this year called LGBTQ Plus Heritage. They got funding through the Heritage Council and they are starting to collect stories from Donegal. So they've just started on that process. They've created a website where you can feed into the process or you can contact them. They have an email address that you can contact them on. And they're starting that. So when those become available, there'll be an archive and there'll also be stories, oral histories that we can then put on our digital podium and share with the rest
And is it sort of, you know, all elements of it? I mean, for a lot of people listening now who are in that community, their story is one of moving away or hiding
Absolutely.
Who they were
Absolutely.
Or living as, you know, living a different life publicly as privately.
Absolutely, yes. And it's about people wanting, if they want to share their stories. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is in a space where they want to do
not,
that.
Not everyone wants to be part of a movement.
No,
they just want to live their life.
Just, absolutely, yeah. absolutely. But if they do want to be part of this and want to share their stories, then they can do that by contacting the project and we will then in turn assist them in sharing those stories with the public. And it may be just that they, you know, it might be in terms of letters home, it might be in terms of their oral history, they're actually telling their story, mm. it might be in terms of photographs. And also, as you say, it might not be their story here in Donegal. They may have been born and raised in Donegal, but they may have moved away to live a life in Dublin or in London or in America. And that's part of their story as well. It's part of the story that they have to tell.
Yeah, and we don't really know how it's going to go in Donegal here yet, which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
No, absolutely not. Well, you never do when you're starting on any project, really. Yeah. You know,
it's not often we kind of get to have a conversation at the beginning of something, do you?
No, absolutely. And it is very, very much the beginning, the very early stages. So we have absolutely no idea. But I always say about projects like this, often the end result isn't what's important. It's mm-hmm. the journey.
Yeah.
It's the journey through the process and the project and meeting people and talking to people. And even if those conversations never become public, they have to be of benefit to everybody, mm-hmm.
I
think.
For sure. I mean, we are too, coincidentally, just off the back of the first ever Pride Parade in Letterkenny. I think Bunkranna had its first this year or last
second.
Year.
Second. Yes, they had
so
their
it was last
year.
Last year was its first.
Yeah.
So still way behind. Now, it's not for any particular reason
no,
as
no.
such. It's just in terms
no, no.
of when
just
it was organised.
Just in terms of people
it's not like
organizing.
There was resistance up until now.
No,
but my
no,
point
absolutely
is
not.
That it's yeah. just things. I mean, that yeah. is was a historic moment for some.
Very
that would
much
have meant
so.
An awful lot to
yeah.
a lot of people on
yeah.
Saturday.
No, I was actually there. I participated as part of LK Fitness, which is a group I'm involved with. We do Zumba and we do Broadway Boogie. And so we participated in the event outside the theatre and also in the parade. And it was amazing. I mean, it really was. There was huge numbers of people. It was a very positive experience.
A lot of people, the pictures really...
Yes.
I was daddy daycare Saturdays.
Very, very colourful and very very broad. Positive.
It was a very, very broad representation of society.
Very,
as well.
Very much so. And very and a very positive, uplifting experience. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's where we're moving to.
Mm. But do you know what it was? Do you know what these things are too sometimes? And they're just becoming few and far between. And regardless of someone's sexuality or gender or whatever, an opportunity to come together and in a supportive, happy, non-divisive...
celebratory.
...community, give us a hug, high five, positivity. You know, forget everything else. Well, don't forget. You know what I'm on about.
Yes.
It's even that. When was the last time something like that happened? We're always arguing, fighting, disagreeing, counter-protesting.
Well, you know, we're Irish.
Yeah, I know, but isn't it refreshing that it's just, you know...
And it was. I mean, if...
Let's get together and just... You know, as I said before, as I haven't said before, someone far more intelligent than I said, there's far much more unites us than divides us. Uh-huh. And that's across everything. It's just nice to focus on the unite side of stuff.
And than I think so. I mean, and that's part of what we want to try and do in the museum as well. Is museums are very much about community and about telling the stories of our communities. And, you know, so it's all of our stories. It's not specific.
And those stories within the communities, I think people should realise, if they don't, that like in any group of individuals, within movements, there are differences of opinion.
Oh, yes.
And some things that people are in favour of and some things that aren't. Just because you are a particular gender or sexuality, it does not mean that you automatically have a certain set of views. But that seems to be lost in a lot of the conversations that are ongoing. I'm not getting into that now, but people are all different.
No, absolutely.
In all different ways.
I think that's key to our understanding of people, is that we are all different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking at me, you might think, well, she's, you know, she's a past middle-aged, white, female, so she must think or believe in a particular way, middle class, of course, museum curator. But that's very... You know, that's not who I am. You know, I'm much more complex than that. And every individual is much more complex. And just because you're part of a community doesn't mean you think exactly the same way as that community
does. Did I hear you
does.
Say Broadway Zumba? What was
Broadway Boogie.
Broadway Boogie.
I do Broadway Boogie. I do Zumba. I also line dance, which people, when they look at me, think, she line dances? That's, I didn't know that.
It's good. So now, how do people access or engage with this project in Letterkenny?
Well, there are two ways. Yeah. Well, there are two ways. First of all, you can simply visit the museum and view the digital stories on our digital podium. It's in our first floor gallery. Come up, have a look at it, and it'll give you an idea of what we have done so far. The LGBTQ plus Heritage Project, they have a website that they're creating at the moment, and they also have an email, which is donegallLGBTQHeritage@gmail.com. And they can be contacted through that if you want to find out more about their project and maybe get involved in that.
All right. Listen, Judith, let us know if you need any assistance down the line in plugging this further. We appreciate you calling up.
No problem at all.
Okay. It wasn't wasted. Judith McCarthy, as she sups her water and departs, Donegal County Museum curator. Thank you so much, Judith, for calling in. It's been lovely having you on the programme. Okay. I pay €129 per month, my direct debit. I checked my account last week and I'm 560 in credit. Okay. A 2 month bill, €144 with board gas. That comes in from Colin in Letterkenny. Another last bill, 376 average house, two adults, two students for the summer holidays.
Wow. That's big. These are big bills, people. Keep them coming into us. 0860 25,000.
There's someone's kindly with a smart meter sent in a breakdown of their bill. We'll go through that after 11. A caller says, "Hi, Greg. You must be living in cloud cuckoo land if you think Ireland could have won the World Cup."
Maybe. Maybe I do. But I don't know. My point was, and maybe it was off the back of the final and some of the other games, that the quality, you know, at times was of a level I think we can perform at, right?
That's all I'm saying. And yes, maybe it feels like we're living in cloud cuckoo land. I just feel that maybe we're not as far away as one might have thought as it began. If things have kind of gone our way, England had a very lucky ride, I think, into the final and kind of come unstuck then. But anyway, listen, I'm not going to row with you about it. But if you agree or disagree, text 086 60 25000 and let us know. Caller says, enjoyed the World Cup over the past month. Thought England were physically powerful, athletic, spirited and an honest, hard-working outfit. Spain's skill-level possession, first touch and passing was a joy to watch. I read that one a little earlier on. Thank you for that. Another is a regular attendee of McGill Summer School over the years. I would admit that there is an element of prime time tonight show on tour about it. Same spokespeople, politicians and journalists we see and read in the media with predictable views can be a good social event with interesting chats afterwards. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Okay. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. And we're not trying to detract from it at all. But listen, we have to be able to have these conversations. And who's to say that things might not improve off the back of them? Okay. Brendan Devaney is going to be joining us very shortly. He's going to be talking about the weekend's GE action, previewing tonight's pod, and also offering his views on Jim McGuinness returning to Donegal.